Would please to Matthew chapter 6. I appreciate that special. I hope we all spend our week day by day telling others about our Jesus. Matthew chapter 6, we continue our study through the Gospels, and we've been for many, many weeks just here in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus brought his church up near to him, began to teach them things about the kingdom. And so we are here in the midst of that. And tonight we're going to learn about our treasures. Matthew chapter 6. Tonight we're going to be studying verses 19 through 23. If you're able, let's stand to honor the word of God tonight. We'll get right into the message. We've got a lot to do this evening, but we do not want to neglect the word of God. Jesus said in verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege to come and to study your word tonight, to sing your praises and to have the preaching of your word. I pray you'd help me now, for I'm nothing without you. I pray you convict hearts tonight and help us to lay up treasures in heaven, to set our affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Lord, help us to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to not love the things of this world, Lord, but to just do all that we can to reach those in this world for your kingdom. Please help me now, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated. This evening, just two main things. I got a lot of scriptures I want to share with you tonight, so if you're taking notes there in your bulletin or in a notebook, I want to encourage you to write down the references so that you can go back and look at these verses. But lots of scriptures tonight as we consider our treasures. Two things tonight we want to notice: the place of our treasures and the passion of our treasures. Notice, first of all, the place of our treasures. The Lord's going to instruct us where we don't need to place our treasures. First of all, in verse 19, he says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." In biblical days, a treasure or a bunch of wealth or something like that would not just include money, but garments and other things as well. Any of those possessions. You'll remember when Achan was there in Jericho and he coveted, he saw a goodly Babylonianish garment and he took it. And so when he says here that moth and rust doth corrupt, those garments, those expensive clothing would be eaten up by the moths. And he says where rust corrupts, and that precious metal that they would use for coinage and for money could be rusted, it could be corrupted, it could be eaten through. And so he says, listen, when you lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, it's not going to last. Now, we want to meet this out. We want to balance this out. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:22, "A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just." And I believe there's a Bible principle that we ought to lay up. There ought to be something that we have to show for our lives to leave to those who follow after us. Now, we've got a different lifestyle today than they did. In that day, they would have a plot of land and they would work that ground and grow crops. They would have herds or flocks there that they would keep. And if a man was good and wise and was a good steward, he would have that to pass on to the next generation. If a man was wasteful or slothful, he would waste his substance. He wouldn't have anything to leave. But the Lord is telling us here we need to be careful about heaping up or reserving and building up treasure and desiring to be rich here in this life. Proverbs 28 and verse 20 says, "A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent." He goes on in Proverbs 28:22 and says, "He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him." So the Lord says we need to be careful when we just desire the riches of this world. Proverbs 23 verse 4, "Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. And the Bible tells us in the Old Testament and the New Testament alike that those who only desire to be rich, those who are focused on this world's goods, have an evil eye. They have evil desires, and we need to be careful. We need to listen to the warning here in Luke, in the Bible, in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 21. The Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." In the Old Testament, the wisdom of Solomon, Proverbs. In the New Testament, Jesus teaches, when you desire nothing but the goods of this world, the treasures of this earth, it's going to be wasted away. It's not going to last. James chapter 5, verses 1 through 4 says, "Go to now, ye rich men, and weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth." And listen, friends, when you love the things of this world, it will corrupt your heart, it will corrupt your mind, and people who are consumed with the desire to be rich will forsake God's law to do whatever they can to get more and more and more. But it doesn't matter, friends. We have Forbes keeps up with the wealthiest people on the planet, and Time magazine and all these different ones are always tracking who is the richest, the most wealthy, who's worth the most. But I want to tell you, dear friends, if they've got this world's goods and they don't know Jesus, they have nothing. Amen. He says, "When you lay up treasure on earth, the moth and rust doth corrupt it. Thieves break through and steal." It's not something you can hang on to. And even if you could hang on to it till the day you die, Word of God says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. 2 Peter 3, verses 7 through 12. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." You can amass all the treasures you want to of this earth, and even if you could hang on to them till the day you die, from one day it's all going to be burned up. And here's what we're going to learn tonight. When you're pursuing the things of this world, you cannot pursue the treasures of earth without neglecting the treasures of heaven. And when you pursue the treasures of heaven, you're going to have to neglect some of the treasures of the earth. So we see in verse 20, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." what you do for Christ will last for eternity. Now, we can lay up treasures here on the earth, and it's all going to be lost. Or we can live for Jesus and lay up treasures in heaven, and that reward will last forever and ever. We got a choice to make. In 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store." It's the same word, lay up treasures. "Lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem." And listen, friend, when you lay up treasures in heaven, when you give to the work of God, you're laying up treasures in heaven that will last forever and ever. When you give to the Lord through the church, and the church takes that money that you've given to the Lord, and we use it to do things like, I don't know, send a bunch of people to church camp. Amen. And we take a group of people to church camp and four souls come to Christ because we went to church camp. Amen. That's treasure. Amen. In heaven. Amen. You say, "Well, I didn't have much to give." Well, you gave something and God used that to bring others to Christ. Amen. Friend, everything we do in this church ought to be to the furtherance of the Great Commission. It ought to be to the preaching of the gospel to every creature. It ought to be to the baptizing of those that are saved. It ought to be to the making disciples of those who are born again believers. It ought to be to carry out that work and to send help to missionaries around the world. And when we do that good work, it's laying up treasures in heaven. We've talked before many times about Jim Elliot, who gave his life for the cause of Christ in Ecuador. And Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." It's not a foolish thing to give away what you can't keep, like the treasures of this earth, like your very life itself. You can't keep that stuff anyway, and it's not a foolish thing to give it all away, to give all of yourself, to give of your substance, to give of your time, to give of your talent, to give of your treasure, to give it all for that which you cannot lose, which is treasures laid up in heaven. The place of our treasures. The Word of God instructs us to set our affection on things above and not on things on the earth. We've got to get our eyes fixed on Him. Which brings us to the second point tonight, the passion of our treasures. In verse 21, the Lord said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Somebody once said, if you want to know what someone loves, all you need to do is look at their check register. Do you think that's true? Do you think that a person could open up your bank account and look where your money goes and figure out what you love? Apparently, if you looked at our check register, we love Walmart. Maybe we don't love Walmart so much, just the stuff that we get there, like groceries. We love groceries. And not just Little Debbie's, all of it. We love groceries. When a man loves to fish, you can tell it because he'll put money in fishing gear and tackle. And he'll take time from work where he could be making money to go and fish. When a lady loves shoes, you don't have to go into her check register. You could just go into her closet. Or purses, handbags. Does that hit home with anybody? Not sure what to do with that. Oh, okay. Amen. I'm a little nervous. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You ever known anybody who loves souls? You ever known somebody who is always concerned about others being saved? I got to tell you, it thrills my soul. It thrills my heart. Sometimes we have somebody come, or we'll have a visitor, or somebody will come, and there's a couple of you in this church when you ask about them, who was that that came, and who was that that was sitting over there? And I love how we identify people. We've got GPS coordinates in this church based on where other people sit. You know, who was that that sat over there a few rows in front of Billy and Melba? Who was that sat over there behind Bill Don? Who was that sat over there by Randy and Kathy? GPS coordinates. There's a few of you, when you ask those kind of questions, you say, well, are they saved? You see, I love that. When somebody's got a concern for souls, when they meet somebody new or hear about somebody new, the first thing I want to know is, are they saved? Are they saved? Do I need to pray for them to be saved? Do I need to go and share the gospel with them? Are they saved? Do they know the Lord? And if our treasures are going to be in heaven, friends, we're going to have a heart for souls. People who have a heart for souls are laying up treasures in heaven. You see how that works? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. This statement that the Lord made works both ways. Where is your heart? Is our heart in heaven? Is our heart in living for Jesus? Is our heart for doing His work? Is our heart for seeing His kingdom advance? Is our heart for seeing His church grow? Is our heart to see souls come to Christ? Is our heart to see kids come to Vacation Bible School and get saved? Is our heart to see people who get saved actually follow the Lord in baptism and live for Him and grow? Where is our heart? I want you to turn, hold your place right here, but please indulge me just a minute tonight and turn in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. I still believe that God wants to do greater things at Calvary this year. I believe the Lord wants to build His church here in Calvary. I believe He wants it to grow. I believe He wants us to enlarge our tent. I think He wants us to spread out our nets. I think He wants us to grow and have greater things done in this place for His glory. I want you to just liken with me for a minute, if you would, the building of the church with the preparation to build the temple. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, we come to the end of King David's life, the end of his reign, and the passing of the torch to Solomon. Now, David had a desire to see a house built for God. And God said, I don't dwell in a house, but I'll let you get the stuff together so your son can build me one anyway. Right? But David had a heart to build a house for God. And he wanted it to be the greatest house the world had ever known. The temple that Solomon would build would be unlike any other building the world has ever, or I believe, will ever know. I mean, it was incredible. But Solomon, in all of his wisdom, all of his might, all of his power, all of his wealth, he never could have done what he did with the temple if David hadn't prepared the way. Now, I want you to look at this. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for the things to be made of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and the brass for the things of brass, the iron for the things of iron, and the wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given into the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, and the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the house withal. The gold for the things of gold, the silver for the things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord. Now, they'll stop right there at verse 6 for a second. David, as king of Israel, gathered lots and lots of silver and gold and brass and iron and wood and all of these things and the stones and the marble, and he gathered it all up. And he said, I've gathered all of this stuff. I've used all of my might, all of my power. But then, as king, he didn't just have control of the kingdom. He had control of his own personal wealth as well. And he said, of my own wealth, I have given all of these things. And he stood up and said, look at what I've given. Now, who has a heart to build God a house? Did you notice he said, I've set my affection on the house of God? Friends, this church, not the building per se, but this place, these people, this is the body of Christ. Amen. And what you do for the Lord through the church is to his honor and his glory. And when you set your affections on the things above, when your affections are set on the kingdom of God, and his dear son, you're going to have to live out that affection through the local church. Does everybody see that? When David had his heart set to God, he did that work and did that giving and gave his treasures to the house of God. And the same is true for us today. When our heart is set on the Lord, we're going to give and work and do through the church. Verse 6, then the chief of the fathers, the princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and hundreds, and the rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thy hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own we have given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee in house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people that are present here to offer willingly unto thee. Everything's yours, God. What we got from you, all that we're giving to is just what you've given us. Amen. And he said, God, I've got a heart. I want to build you a house. My heart is for your kingdom. My heart is for your glory. My heart is for your purposes, Lord. And so I've given. I've laid up all my treasure for you, Lord. And now, with great joy, I've seen your people willingly give for your house. They say, well, God's house, the church, it's a spiritual thing, and so it's just spiritual. And I believe that the application definitely is about doing work for the spiritual. But I want to tell you something, friends. When our heart is for the things of God, it's not just going to show in some spiritual, ethereal way. It's going to be real in our lives. It's going to be real in what we do with our time. It's going to be real in what we do with our talents. It's going to be real in what we do with our treasures. It's going to be real when we give of ourselves and of our substance to the work of the Lord. The passion of our treasure. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And David gave his treasures to the work of God, and that's where his heart was, in the house of God. When we give our treasure to the work of God, to the glory of God, through the church of God, that's where our heart will be. Let's go back to our text and look at verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? I want you to listen to what Luke 11, verses 34 to 36 says. Luke 11, 34. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. The Lord says, I want your eye to be single. When your eye is single, then you will be full of light. But when your eye is evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. So what does it mean? I want you to think about your eye for a second. When your eye isn't healthy, when you have trouble with your eye, when you can't see, many years ago, they would call that, somebody who had eye trouble, they would say that they have a squint. They can't see. Because now when you have eye trouble, you go to the eye doctor, right? And they give you glasses or contacts or do laser surgery, and it's amazing what they can do. But years ago, a person would just squint. And their vision would be blurry and their vision would be doubled because they had a hard time seeing. When we try to serve God and mammon, when we try to stand well with both worlds, to lay up treasures on earth and at the same time to be rich toward God, we're in a spiritual squint. We're seeing double. We're trying to set our eyes on this world and set our eyes on the world to come. You're trying to look two different ways. They're completely opposites. God didn't put one of our eyes in the front of our head and the other on the back of our head. Although my mother used to say she had eyes in the back of her head, because she always knew things that I was doing that she shouldn't have known. God put both of our eyes in the front of our head so we can look one direction. John Bunyan told of a man named Mr. Facing Both Ways. If you've never read The Pilgrim's Progress, you ought to read it. He kept one eye, Mr. Facing Both Ways, kept one eye on heaven and the other on earth. He sincerely professed one thing and sincerely did another. He tried to cheat God and the devil, but in the end, he cheated only himself and his neighbors. I believe this is what it's talking about. When the Lord said, let your eye be single, I believe he meant to keep your eye on him. And when you get your eyes on Jesus, on him alone, his light will fill up your whole life. Amen. When your eyes are fixed on Jesus, his light will shine like a candle in and through your life. But when your eye is evil and you take your eyes off Jesus and our eyes are on ungodly things and worldly things, then that darkness comes into our life. The Bible says, mine eye hath affected my heart. The Bible warns us over and over and over again about the link between our eyes and our heart. What you look at will affect your heart. Amen. What affects your eyes affects your heart, affects your whole life. Amen. And the Lord said, when you get your eyes on evil things, if you're looking on evil things, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if the light that's in you is darkness, if what's filling up your life is darkness, how great, how terrible is that darkness? In 2 Corinthians 11:3, the Bible says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You see, the Lord has made it very simple for us. Put your eyes on him. Look, let your eyes be straight on. And don't turn to the left or to the right. I said it was simple. I didn't say it was easy. But he's given us the opportunity, he's called us to set our affections on him, to fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we've got it in our minds that this world really isn't all that bad. We've got this idea that we can set our affections on things of the earth and it's really not all that bad. But the Lord doesn't give us that at all. He says if it's of Christ, if it's of the faith, then it's good. He said if it's anything other than that, it's evil. Amen. If it's not of the faith, it's sin. And we want it to be okay. We want to live for Jesus, but we want to live for the world too. We want to love him, but we want to love the world too. And friends, we can't have it both ways. We've got to every day get up and say, Lord, I want to set my eyes on you. I want your light to fill up my life so that I can be a light to the world. And moment by moment through our day, we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. And when the devil comes and temptation comes and troubles come and the temptations of this world, the desires of the flesh start pulling us away and drawing our eyes away, we've got to say, no, I want to keep my eyes on Jesus. I'm going to keep my eyes on him. Let your eye be single. One thing. The Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get ready for an invitation tonight. And while they're coming, would you stand?